sound that's both reflective and forward-looking. Known for music that is as socially aware as it is musically rich, Noah-san brings a deeply personal perspective shaped by his roots and international career, returning to a hometown stage for what's sure to be a special night of music. Don't miss Curtis Noah-sad live at the Fort Garry Hotel on June 21st at 7 p.m. Tickets are available through jazzwinnipeg.com. Proudly supported by UMFM 101.5. I can't tell you what's in store
for you. All I can do. Hey, yo, my people. This is Azanti, and I'm here with my friend
Zion.
Z, what are you saying? Every creative project needs the right space.
Does. We're building Winnipeg's creative hub for recording, photography, videography, and content creation.
We also rent spaces out for podcasts, events, and all our studio sessions come with a pro engineer included. The first 30 minutes of every recording session is free. If you're coming for graduation pictures, where your bet? Not to mention, we have a 30% discount off every service we offer. To get started,
email us at mile12productions@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at mile12productions. Check our previous works, book a studio session, explore our artist lunch packages, or connect with all our creative communities.
I think we've said enough. How about we leave the rest to them?
How about they come see for themselves?
All right.
What'll it be, stranger? Jello.
Not that. Anything but that, you beast.
Nothing upsets a pickle lover more than a dull, soggy pickle.
Creamy lather. Dreamy body.
All right now, boys, how about a little dinner music?
Hey, don't change that channel. You're listening to UMFM 101.5. Stay tuned for more.
Hey everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to the 82nd episode of Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, and today I am back. My exams are done, life is good, and I am just in a state of freedom here. Well, you know, sort of. To be honest with you guys, I am still busy, significantly less so, and significantly less importantly so, but still busy. And for what, you ask? Well, the radio. This week I'm having to spend like 6 hours or so just to write the next two episodes of the show. And then I have to do like random side quests, like make banana bread for a potluck. I have like all these, you know, like all these just random things I have to do. And it's, you know, the big wigs here at UMFM are making me do an episode for the pledge drive. You know, even though I'm going to be honest with you guys, I don't really want to. But, you know, don't tell anybody that, guys. I trust all my listeners here. I trust everybody here tonight to kind of keep that secret. But I don't really want to, okay? Listen, I got my exam finished 2 days ago. I start work in 6 days. And to be honest with you guys, I don't want to, you know, spend my 8 days off getting ready for the radio, even though it does not take nearly that long. But here I am. Here we are, you know. The craft knows no limits. My dedication is unbounded. But I'm not being made to do an episode today. Okay, that today, my friends, is just dedication. That is it. You know, part of my rationale of why it's like not the end of the world to do these two shows is, you know, it's like I got super busy from school, and it's like, and it's a way to ease myself into working full time, you know, instead of jumping out of doing nothing for a week. You know, it's kind of like it's like easing from the sauna into a cold shower, you know. It's kind of like that. I don't really know what's worse, university or working full time. I think they're kind of just bad in different ways, to be honest with you. From like, you know, different times working and doing university, I'd say it kind of varies with what's worse and when. But, you know, Something that has been through various phases as well is today's album, Vespertine by Bjork. And by that, I mean I could think of four different months in my life where I have consistently listened to Vespertine. And, or at least where it kind of got heavy into my rotation. You know, I can think of December 2022, when I was 18, and I first started listening to Bjork in general. And I remember just walking in like minus 30 to the Pemina Trail Library in Fort Richmond because I wanted to, you know, go somewhere to study for my exams. It was the first ever exams I did, actually. And I remember I would study. I had this system where I would get on the bus from St. Norbert. I'd study at Tim's for like 2 hours. And then I would get out of Tim's whenever the kids from FRC would come on their lunch break because they'd just make it super chaotic and ridiculous. So I'd leave the Tim's at FRC. And then I would walk. I'd do the trek to the library. And I remember listening not only to Vespertine, but also listening to Homogenic back then. And the thing about Bjork is, you know, Bjork has never really gotten heavy into my rotation. Like, I've never had a, you know, Bjork's never been my favorite artist at the time. Like, if you ask me at any point, I wouldn't say, oh, favorite artist is probably Bjork. Even favorite artist right now, not even, like, as a whole, but just at that moment. And that's kind of what makes... Like, I remember in December 2022 is obviously easily the Smiths, no contest. But because of that, I have this thing where I kind of just forget how good Bjork, but especially Vespertine is. So I just kind of, like, come back to it, you know? So it, for me, it's almost like this little treat. You know, I never really get burnt out on Bjork. It's like a little chocolate that I get to have every now and then as a treat. That makes for this really interesting quality. You know, I have a memory, another one, of listening to Pagan Poetry in the summer of 2023. I remember because I still lived in St. Norbert, and I was wearing a hat, and I was like, I almost never wore hats, so I was kind of stressed to like soft launch me becoming a hat guy, which I'm still not really a hat guy, but every now and then, you know. And I went to go hang out with my friend. So these are just random memories, right? And then I remember when I moved out. I remember in February 2024, I couldn't get my router working because I failed to properly plug it in for like multiple days. So it took me like 3 days where I didn't have internet and I had to go to my friend's house to study for university. You know, each of these memories, you know, they have their own feels and images and sounds associated with them. And that sound actually is all Vespertine. You know, I remember in February, I remember how humid the air was because it was like this very wet winter. And I remember walking to my friend's house in like minus 20. I remember the lights in his room his room in like the attic of his house. And all these different just little chunks of memories are all soundtracked by Vespertine. You know, different stress levels, different levels of busyness, all soundtracked by this album. And the key to that is, you know, you can't force it, right? Like, you know, there's times where I've listened to the album that aren't as memorable, but you can't force them to be Vespertine memories. Because the beauty of this album is that I just forget how good it is all the time. You know, even now, it's been a while since I listened to this a few days ago, and I was writing for the show, and I was looking at the track list and, you know, divining the essence of the album, you know, as I do. And the run from tracks 1 to 7 is just insane. Like, you know, Hidden Place, that would be February 2024, into the May song of Aurora of 2025, May, is just a perfect flow of the album. And honestly, there's no skips on this album. But I'll just kind of start with the opening track, and that is Hidden Place by Bjork off of her 2001 album Vespertine.
Suggested. Can decide. Simplicity. I love him, 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 I
love him, she loves
this time.
She loves him, she loves
I'm gonna keep it to myself.
She loves him.
But he makes me wanna do it.
that was Hidden Place, It's Not Up to You, Pagan Poetry, Frosty, and Aurora, all off of Bjork's 2001 album, Vespertine. And as I said before, I think that album list is, or track list, is just an absolutely insane run. And that's without the two great songs between Hidden Place and It's Not Up to You, that being, or the two after those, that being Cocoon and Undo. I love the texture on this album. It just feels so rich, so engrossing, and the production is just so good here. This album feels, in a sense, otherworldly, kind of completely in its own realm and lane. It feels so distinct as an album and rich, and I feel like there's almost nothing that really sounds like it. And the world that it makes is this passionate world where everything is beautiful and everything has meaning. I don't know, it just sounds absolutely gorgeous in its own way, its own lane. Like whenever I get back into Vespertine, it's singular. Like I rarely get back into Bjork all at once, because every album just feels so singular. But here especially, I think, Hidden Place has an incredible, like, wandering style. The song feels like it's, like, snaking through your ears. The production makes the sound, and a lot of these songs makes for the sound of, like, of a choir, leading you away into the hidden place. You feel the song's title in its style. And It's Not Up to You feels almost bouncy, but it's so gorgeous with the layered vocals, almost sounding, again, like a whole choir, as if, like, hundreds of Bjorks all come to serenade you into the feeling and the idea of the song, of just letting go. The song, makes you let go it through its music. It kind of gently lets you fall into it. And Pagan Poetry feels like its title. It feels mysterious. It feels ancient, something almost like primordial that you can resonate with on some ancestral level. It's such a good song, and the way it blends into Frosty and Aurora is just so satisfying, like, every time. It's just a perfect, it's one of my favorite, like, blends of songs on an album. I think just the flow of it and the way that if you get them right, like, Frosty and Aurora perfectly flow into each other. To the point where I think I listen to Frosty more than Aurora. I just like that one more, I think. And it's more replayable. But every time I hear Frosty without the end of Aurora, it feels just incomplete. And Frosty is just such an incredible song. It's just so gorgeous. It feels like a lullaby. Like, it has just such a calming and beautiful flow to it. It feels like wind chimes. Like, when I hear this song, I feel like I'm teleported back to my grandparents' house in the country. You know, it's 30 degrees out. It's summer. I can feel the heat of the light brown deck on the soles of my feet. You know, my grandpa's on the deck. He's sitting there. My sister is a bit of a ways away. She's below over the little hill. At our grandparents, we had like this little hill that had a wall on it, like almost like a concrete wall, and you would jump down. It was weird. But I hear it, I can hear. I'm gonna go climb the trees after the second concrete wall, so I have to go put shoes on. But I'm running through the grass. I'm kind of running, jumping on these little stones that we had to the campfire. I can hear the song. Frosty is just the sound of the wind chimes hanging off the deck. I hear it as I run on each stone that leads to the wall to jump to get to the pine trees. And as the song kind of fades away and gets quieter, I'm in the trees. You know, the wind chimes are getting quieter. I'm climbing up the tree. I'm knowing where to grab to avoid the sap. I have no thoughts. All I can really do is just climb and hear the wind chimes just slowly fading off. And as it kind of fades off, I kind of come back to a more recent memory, or multiple, rather. You know, now it's December 2024. I'm at my friend's cabin. We're shooting fireworks at each other, or really stupidly, and almost blowing my hand off. Or now it's May 2025. You know, I'm in the wilderness at 0 degrees. Everybody else has gone to sleep. And I put one earbud in, grab my phone, and I listen to Frosty, and I listen to Vespertine in general, alone at the fire, and I hear the wolves a few kilometers off in the night. And it's right when the song fades into the crunch of the snow that I'm brought back into reality. I'm brought back onto, yesterday on my couch listening to this song as I write these words that I'm reading right now. You know, I said earlier how this song, this album feels surreal, and it doesn't, but that doesn't mean it feels inhuman, or I guess, yeah, inhuman is the right word. Not human? I don't know. Not inhumane. It doesn't feel foreign, you know? It's an album that feels deeply human. It feels almost more human than reality. Like, it feels surreal. It feels like, I feel like it sounds like the meaning that's in memories. It's an album that, you know, gives you that feeling, the surrealness of a memory. It feels so lush, and I think Frosty is just the perfect example. The way it's so engaging, how it kind of pulls you away from the album for a second and then flows right back in. It's like a dream or a memory right before you kind of come back to realizing that you're remembering. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it feels right to me. And I feel like this album is more about how you feel anyways. So in this album, it feels so romantic in like a capital R. Romantic romance sense, but also a capital R romantic sense, like romanticism. It feels so timeless, so real, and it just kind of makes you want to just sit back and appreciate the sound. I think it's a perfect camping album for me. Maybe not while I'm camping, but it's a perfect album that feels like how camping feels for me. It's a good winter album, but I think only if you're like actively going out and appreciating winter, and not like miserable while waiting for the bus. You know, it just feels so lush that I can only really picture it in like a wilderness type winter where like a whole field is just flat with snow. Not like the brown snow that you get while waiting for the bus in Winnipeg. You know, I always hate when people who like winter or claim, I think they're all lying, people who claim that winter is their favorite season. I think, you know, they only really like winter if they go out of their way. Like, and they always go like, oh, it's so pretty. No, like it's winter's only pretty if you like go out in the woods. And I've gone out in the woods and skied. I've gone out in the woods and cross-country skied and everything. And I've, you know, snowshoes and all that. And that's beautiful. I love that. You know, if you look like I do, you used to live at the edge of the city. You know, that's nice. You can enjoy it. If you're downtown and stuff, it's just ugly. Like winter is just ugly. You know. Meanwhile, you know, summer is beautiful everywhere. Okay, all the time. I'll be walking down a trash-filled street in the summer, and I'll be feeling great. I'll enjoy it. Put that in winter, I might just lose it. I might just give up right there on the spot. And that's what Vespertine feels like to me, to bring it all back. It feels like skiing in the woods in winter, maybe. But anyways, here's more of Vespertine with Heirloom. And this, again, off of, you know, said album that came out from Bjork in 2001.
Right up my back.
That was Heirloom and Unison off of Bjork's 2001 album Vespertine. It's a kind of a tone shift down, but for the second half of the album. I really like the consistency of this album in tone, and I think it really puts the interlude of Frosty right at the perfect halfway point of the album, both, you know, mathematically and musically. And it kind of shifts down to a quieter, or rather slower, maybe, side of the album. You know, considering this album is basically all about sex, or is, like, influenced by it, I don't know. It's basically the tone of the whole album. This is kind of, like, the afterwards for me, which is almost low-key the best part. You know, you kind of get all the energy and nervousness and otherwise out, and you just kind of lay there, all guards down with the other person, all anxiety gone. You know, I'm sure none of my audience, you know, knows what I'm talking about. I mean, you guys are listening to a guy talk about the album at 2 p.m. But trust me on the feeling, you know, and how this album almost mirrors it in tone or in its track list. Also, my sister told me that she listens to every episode a few weeks ago, so I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but I am an adult, so sorry. Sorry, sister. You know, Rob Kriskow, the GOAT of music reviewers, as we all know, quite liked that part, saying, I like this album better once I heard it was entirely about sex, which, since it often varies its pulse, took a while. He also gave the album an A-. He then goes on to describe the type of sex the album is like, and come on, man. Like, okay, Album Authority is a family show, okay? You know, I can't talk about at length about the type of sex that Robert Kriskow associates with Vespertine. You know, whole families, generations gather around their radio to hear Album Authority, okay? It's kind of like this generation's version of FDR's Fireside Chats. And I can't be spewing these words that Robert Kriskow uses, okay? Actually, you know, that gets me thinking, you know, maybe society would be better if we only heard politicians through, like, radio addresses. You know, you get to sit down and hear the Prime Minister instead of, like, seeing Trump on Truth Social. I love that name. That is such the truth. I will never be able to take Truth Social seriously. It kills me every time. And my favorite part is that when you say something on there, you say a truth. You post a truth. It's such a stupid way of saying it. I don't know. And isn't it like Trump's own app? Like, isn't it made by his team or what? I don't know. Anyways, this is a beautiful album. You know, these are beautiful songs. I really like Heirloom. I think it has the little, apparently, samba preset on an organ. And it's kind of the clear image of Bjork's reoccurring dream of singing as inhaling and exhaling glowing lights. I think Unison is a great closing track. I love the way it builds up the strings and these beats into this, and the building energy of Bjork's vocals all kind of come to this crescendo. I also love the lyrics to the song as well. I really love the lines about, you know, never compromising, never thinking she's going to compromise, and uniting with her lover and kind of changing her whole lifestyle. It's a really beautiful song about kind of changing for the person you love, and not even in, like, some dramatic I have to change for you way, but kind of just about, you know, your lifestyle and the little things about you that you change. Like, there's a list of things that I do now that I would have never done before or never thought of doing before, or ways that I isn't something I would normally do or tend to do. I think it's a really beautiful song and idea, and for me, you know, is very true. And I think it brings a great end to the album. And it's really Bjork kind of, you know, has brought the listener into her hidden place and kind of unites with the listener in the end, making for this really beautiful, cohesive sound to and feeling to the album. Today's Canadian, and it kind of brings you into the mood of seeing your own world with the same beauty and love of Vespertine's kind of short 55-minute and 39-second world. That being said, today's Canadian song of the week is Tired Cossacks, November 14th, off of his new album, Zima. He is playing it live at the West End Cultural Center on Friday. I will be there. Feel free to not come up and talk to me. Actually, if you come up and talk to me, I would be very frightened. Anyways, here is November 14th, an excellent song off of Tired Cossacks' excellent new album, Zima.
Did you know that Winnipeg is home to a brand new pair of world-class recording studios? That's right. No Fun Club has been designed to provide an uncompromising space for sonic creativity. From the purpose-built acoustic environments, to the extensive vintage gear collection, to the analog and digital workflow options, to the kitchens, No Fun Club has been thoughtfully curated to accommodate and inspire musicians and engineers alike. So whatever your vibe, we've got you covered. Visit nofunclub.com to learn more about our safer space policy, accessibility, gear list, and more.
With a deep groove and radiant soul, Winnipeg jazz supergroup Sir Luke and the Dukes honor Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life as part of the 2026 TD Winnipeg International Jazz Festival for one night only, June 17th at the Fort Garry Hotel. Led by bassist Luke Jeanette, this all-star Winnipeg ensemble explores the album's rich melodies and harmonic depth, shaping a performance that celebrates love, rhythm, and the enduring brilliance of a landmark recording. From funk to ballads to soaring arrangements, they bring new life to one of music's greatest works with warmth, power, and unmistakable swing. Created exclusively for Jazz Fest, this one-night-only concert is a joyful, high-energy tribute to a timeless classic. Don't miss Sir Luke and the Dukes as they play Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life June 17th at the Fort Garry Hotel. Tickets available through jazzwinnipeg.com, proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
This is Luke Rathborn. Hello, Winnipeg. You are listening to UMFM 101.5, and I just got caught by a UFO.